We are back at USL Aces episode 8. This is your host, Tom Sweezy. I'm joined by probably the spiciest man in USL, Jason Weintraub. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I did not expect that music to be playing like that. It was a countdown, and then all of a sudden, I was hearing a guitar ballad in my ear, so that was unexpected.
Yeah, you heard a guitar ballad by Alexi Lalas in your ears.
Oh, well, yeah, another unexpected thing from Alexi Lalas. Wow, what a shocker.
But you doing okay, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to get a handle on everything going on this off season. It felt like December, it was absolutely nothing. January was a little bit, and then the past 2 weeks have just been crazy with the amount of movement and signings and people retiring, and it's a lot going on right now.
I honestly feel like it's just, they're like, the season's coming around in less than a month or a month. Let's just throw it all in right now and let's just see how it goes.
Everybody but Miami, but
yeah, I mean, but you know, I would kind of, let me introduce you first. Obviously, I should let people know, but if you're listening to this and you don't know who Jason is, I mean, there's an issue with you. A co-host of the League One Fun podcast with Ira Jersey, who we had on, I'm pretty sure it's episode 2 of the podcast, or episode 1 maybe. And you're also a contributing writer at USLLeagueOne.com, right?
Yeah, I try to spread my wings to the people who don't kick me out immediately. It eventually always happens, but occasional guest appearances on the USL show and Uncle Sam podcast and all that fun stuff. So yeah, like I said, anyone who can tolerate me for more than an hour can get me.
And you're a gambling expert too.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, otherwise I wouldn't be doing these nerdy ass lower league soccer podcasts, but I definitely am willing to give my paycheck to the casinos, if that's what you meant.
Yes, exactly. That, you put that on the head right there.
You know how much of a delinquent I am? I'm actually like betting on Barcelona SC right now in the Copa qualification. Do you even know where Barcelona SC is?
Ecuador.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah. That's how much of a delinquent I am. I definitely need help. Unless I win, and then otherwise I don't need any help. You need help because you're not listening to me when I'm making these bets.
I don't know if I could like sleep soundly at night knowing I bet on Ecuador SC. I don't know. That one seems tough to me.
You know what I do sleep soundly knowing is that I bet the A League, which is probably the worst league to bet on, but I'm 9-1 this season. That's like the only league that's paying out. So holler at me if you need some A League bets. I got you.
I've been seeing that on Twitter. I don't get it, man. I don't get how you're betting on the A-League. I don't even think I can stay up to watch the A-League.
No, I don't. I definitely don't, right? It's one of those things to where it's just like, it's going to determine the mood I'm in when I wake up. Like, okay, did I hit a $30 bet, or am I in the hole to start the day? Let's just see what we're doing right now.
Did I hit that $30 parlay with fucking Brisbane Roar, I guess?
Anybody against Newcastle Jets, I'm taking. That's my thing. Last week was the first time where I was like, I'm not going to bet against them, and they won. So, but I'm probably back on that train this week.
All right. Well, unfortunately, this isn't a league. What is it? A-League. That's A-League podcast. I don't even know what it is. This is a USL podcast, and I do have to say you're becoming, I think you are, you and Ira are probably the experts in League One. If I'm mistaken there, you can let me know, but I'm excited to talk to you about a little bit of League One, maybe dive into a little bit of Championship, because you know you spread your wings wide in the U.S. soccer circles. So do you want to dive in with League One first or Championship?
Yeah, whatever you're comfortable with. I'm just here to follow you.
All right, so let's go League One. I feel like I haven't talked League One in a few weeks. I kind of want to start with my favorite people, my favorite team in the league, and I don't know not everyone's favorite forward, Madison. They had a very slow start to the offseason, I think, for sure, with a lack of signings, and then eventually kind of exploded. And this week they announced two signings. The one major one to me, and I know you have a Trinidad boy you want to talk about, which I'm excited to hear about him because I don't know much about him, but I want to start with Lewis Bennett. He was on loan last season, forward Madison, signing on a permanent deal. I mean, I think it's a good move to bring him back, bring some familiarity back to that defense.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when it looks like, you know, I don't know if they are bringing back Sean Russell. I don't know if they're bringing back Connor Tobin. So it's one of those things to where, yeah, familiarity is important, especially when it comes to that chemistry early in the season. You don't want to fall too far behind. So yeah, I don't hate it at all. Be playing in the midfield. You know, it's good to see him back. It's good to see that Madison is kind of still sticking with their whole local and, you know, familiarity and fan favorites. So it's a good pickup for them.
All right. And can you let me know about the new Trinidad defender? I'm pretty sure that they signed.
Yeah. So he is a big signing, and that's what they teased. And the reason why he's big is because this man is easily the biggest man in USL League One right now. So it's Josiah Trimingham, played in the Trinidad and Tobago League, played for Sando. And when I saw him maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago in Trinidad and Tobago, I was like, that's a big boy. And somehow between now and then, he's put on even more muscle. And so, you know, but you can't let don't let the size fool you, because he is a center back, but he's very comfortable with being upfield. And so, for instance, he played for a high pressing team. And so a lot of the times he would be getting the ball at the midfield line and, you know, be distributing the passes. So he's not afraid to go up. He's not afraid to cover the ground, use the physicality to kind of make up for the, you know, the speedy guys that might be able to get past them. And you're also never going to win aerial duel against him, because that man's got ups. For someone his size, I don't know how he's getting up there. I don't know if people are just afraid to jump because they're like, oh, nah, you, why don't you jump into a brick wall? I don't feel like doing that today. So he's a very good center back in the air, obviously very good with his physicality, knocking people off the ball. But yeah, don't let that size fool you. He can get around, and he's not just going to sit there at the box waiting for you to come to him.
I was going to say, the little bit that I've watched of him, he has no problem with the ball at his feet and then, like, letting that thing fly and, like, putting out a pass out there, like, beelines to someone up, like, up the field. He's a very talented player for, like you said, like, his size. But, like, I don't know, like, I want to call him, like, the Adama Traore of USL League One. Like, he's just a big boy, and he just will just take that body, that mass, and just go.
Yeah, and one thing you have to look at with Ford was last year, Connor Tobin, his big thing was kind of, you know, he, at his age, you know, he had to go up against speedy guys. So it was all about positioning and physicality with him. And he led the league in clearances, and both him and Y. Omsberg, who was their center back duo last year, led the league as a team in clearances for center backs. And so that's the kind of replacement, if Connor doesn't come back, you look for, right? Is somebody who, you know, can be physical, win it in the air, and kind of clear that ball out. Not necessarily someone that you rely on building from the back. Eric Leonard, their defensive central midfielder, he's very good at coming back, getting the ball, and kind of starting, you know, those attacks, or he's good at intercepting and starting the, you know, the attack the other way. So I think they're depending on someone more who can really clear the ball out, and make sure that they don't give up any headers or, you know, any crosses. And so I think that's the bill that he fits.
I completely agree with you there. I want to transition from one defender to the next, and I want to go into Greenville Triumph. They signed Abdi Mohamed, who played last season. Where was he last season? He was with
Memphis?
Yeah, I think, pretty sure he was on loan at Memphis last season. He had from NYCFC. I should know that. But so he comes down to join his cousin, correct, on Greenville?
Yes.
So, yep. I mean, I'm excited to see him play a fullback that I think maybe could use a little bit more time to develop his game defending more. I don't know. Like, I watching some of his highlights at Memphis, I wasn't overly thrilled about his defensive ability, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Greenville just really is good at producing talent. And obviously last season they had a very successful season, and I'd like to see him kind of continue to grow and mold down a league.
And I mean, if you want to develop defenders, I'm pretty sure Coach Harkes is the coach in this league that is the best at doing that, right? And so you go to the best defensive team. He's primarily a left back, and Tyler Pollock has got that position on lock, right? Pretty much runner up of defensive player of the year. And so he, I know Muhammad can play the right back, and maybe that's something that they're planning on doing. Max Hemmings plays there right now. And so I don't think they have anybody else on the roster in that backup role. Greenville last year also was a roster who had the least amount of players of anyone in the league. So they might not, you know, I know they're trialing people right now, but, you know, it's one of those things to where it's good to have a defender that can play both, right? I mean, I think he's more comfortable at left, but he can play right. And if injuries happen, you can plug him in different places. And then, like I'm saying, having a lock of a position like Tyler Pollock, he has time to learn. He has veterans to learn from. And, you know, Coach Harkes can have him ready to where, you know, midseason he might become a full-time starter based off of, you know, what's going on with the lineup, or, you know, even next year. He, I know if a player moves on, if Pollock ends up going back to championship or whatnot, he can be someone that they can just plug right in.
Exactly. I mean, I really think that his versatility also gives him maybe the opportunity to play a little bit more. You know, and I'm excited to see him play. And I also like families on the same team. I don't know. That's just a cool aspect to me.
No, yeah, we got it. We got to have our own USL League One, you know, brother duo. We were going to have the Antleys, but Connor moved up. So now we've got the Muhammads.
Speaking of Connor Antley, that interview you did with Connor Antley, absolutely loved it.
Thank you. It was mostly Connor. He's just making me look good. But yeah, it's incredible what this league is doing for these players, because it's not just Connor, right? You have a lot of these players who are like, yeah, I was basically about to give up on soccer. I didn't have any offers, didn't know where to go. And then, you know, they see a tryout, or they see, you know, a coach call them and say, hey, have you thought about doing this new team, blah, 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 blah. And it's given so many players who probably would be doing something else with their lives right now an opportunity to play. And now you see some of them even playing in USL Championship and could be making the jump to MLS. So it's amazing what the league has already done, considering it's been around for just a year.
And I would recommend anyone who hasn't listened to League One Fun, Jason, your interview with Connor Antley, to go listen to that, because that's a fun one. That's a fun one. And watch out for him in Indy next year. But kind of transitioning back to on the field in Greenville especially, they lost the big-time defender in Cole Seiler, who decided to retire from professional soccer at 25. I mean, clearly, I don't think this was a performance issue at 25 years old. To me, this seems more like just a lifestyle change he wants to have. You know, not obviously lower division soccer in America may not pay the bills for everyone. And that's understandable if this is, you know, and I'm just speculating at this point. But if that's the reason why, I didn't see any, you know, reasons like out there that he stated. But I don't know. What do you think the loss of Seiler could mean to Greenville and kind of his retirement in general?
Yeah, it's a big loss, because when you look at Cole Seiler last year, he played multiple positions, right? And it was one of those things to where, whether it was between injuries or early in the season where they didn't really know the lineup that they wanted to roll with, or at least the formation, he was someone that played, you know, as a center back, on the ends, in the midfield. He was somebody that you can plug in and be sure, okay, here's someone that I know can, you know, tackle and tackle well. You know, he won 38 of his 48 tackles. He had, I think, the most aerial duels won of anybody in USL League One, or the highest percentage. So he's definitely somebody that is going to be missed, because he was one of those, you know, pivotal players that you can put in somewhere and say, okay, the defense, when we are, you know, transitioning to the midfield, the ball is going to go to him. Or when we are, you know, defending set pieces, he's going to be the one to call it out and be that person that we put, you know, near post to try to stop that ball coming in before it has a chance. So yeah, it's a big loss for them. Like you said, you know, life is bigger than soccer. So it might be something family related. It might be, you know, new career, you know, but you know, he will be missed, not just by the team, but by the community as well, because he definitely had an impact in Greenville.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I think, you know, the team also loses out on a lot of experience from a guy like Cole. You know, MLS experience, USL Championship experience. And, you know, it's interesting, because I don't know if this sounds bad or sounds mean to him. I'm not trying to say it in a bad way. But this is probably, you know, the best form he had in his professional career, especially that last season. So it sucks to see him go, and I wish he would stay around. But life happens, and you got to do what you got to do. So respect him. Maybe a comeback in the future. That would be cool, too, to see. But I want to transition over to more losses in USL League One. And North Texas SC got hit with two big ones. And, you know, just adding to the, I guess, to show what the kind of talent they had last year. But Callum Montgomery, center back, and you know, league MVP Arturo Rodriguez, both going on loan to championship clubs. I want to start with the Arturo Rodriguez one, because that one's super interesting to me, because it kind of ties in MLS, USL Championship, USL League One. League MVP and USL League One going on loan to a championship club that is owned by an MLS team, but isn't the MLS team that he was loaned down to the League One team by, if that all makes sense. So FC Dallas owns North Texas SC. He was obviously, he wasn't on loan. I think he's actually a North Texas SC player last year in League One.
Right.
But obviously still have that connection there between the two clubs. He goes on loan to the Real Monarchs, who are owned by Real Salt Lake. This is a whole fucked up situation. I mean, I just feel like it's like FC Dallas losing out on a possibility of a really good player.
So here's how I'm looking at it, because one of the things that is thrown in those press releases at the very end, Real Monarchs has an option to buy at the end of this loan. And so that's the part that I'm confused about, but also kind of get, because if he goes to Real Monarchs and impresses, that puts the pressure on Real Salt Lake to purchase him, right? And then we're looking at probably the biggest purchase from USL League One to, you know, a higher up team. Cause I guess, you know, Monarchs would still technically pay for it, but then they could move them up to Real Salt Lake. I don't know how that would work. But I'm also, like you said, this is the league MVP. This is somebody who has a 92% accuracy rating. Like, it's like he ran laps around the league last year, you know, 10 assists, 78 key passes, was easily the best player on the field every game he played in. And so I don't understand why FC Dallas and North Texas wouldn't want to sign him as a FC Dallas homegrown or sign him to a FC Dallas contract, when then you can shop him around when it comes to, you know, foreign teams looking at him, international teams looking at him. I know, you know, from what I've heard from sources, that Liga MX teams were, you know, peeking around the corner and kind of gaining interest in him. And so it's really weird to see this. I wonder if it's one of those things to where they're doing that to kind of put the pressure on that organization to say, hey, if he balls out this year, you guys got to name a price, because we got people waiting for us. So yeah, maybe it's one of those things to where they felt that Real Monarchs was the best kind of team to get him to get looks for when it comes to USL Championship, because you're going to get them from the MLS side and, you know, any other international team side. Yeah. But yeah, I that would be my, I guess, kind of assumption as to why they do it, instead of loaning him to somebody who's an independent team that might not have that kind of scouting network or connections to international clubs the way that Salt Lake and other MLS 2 teams have.
I mean, my only argument for that, and clearly, I mean, you're talking about two different players, is the Callum Montgomery loan deal. Like, then why loan Callum Montgomery, who was a very good defender in his own right in USL League One last season, who, with the track record that FC Dallas has for developing and starting and playing their players to the first team, why loan Montgomery to San Antonio FC? And, like, why not loan Arturo Rodriguez to San Antonio FC, keep him in Texas, and kind of have that availability?
Because I think there's a lot more talent for FC Dallas, North Texas, the academy, that whole pipeline at midfielder than there is defenders right now. So I think the idea for the defenders is you send them on loan to get experience, and then you bring them back and they eventually start for FC Dallas next year, right? You know, Ziegler is, what, 34 now? So as well as he's been playing, he doesn't have that much time left. And Hedges is up there too, right? He's 30, I think. So it's one of those things to where, yeah, you let them go get that experience, bring them back. Reggie Cannon's not going to be there long. That back line's going to change up in the next 2 years. So I get them loaning them to independent teams, keeping them in Texas too. And that's a big part of it. And I think that's a big way you can tell of who they're trying to keep, right? Like you send that, you send Montgomery to Texas, you have Breck Evans go to another club in Texas, Austin Bold. And so it's one of those things to where those guys are coming back and probably playing in those first, you know, FC Dallas first team games. I have a feeling with, you know, Arturo, they're shopping him. I think it's just, we're going to try to get as many eyes as him on possible. We're going to raise his price and we're going to see what we can do.
No, I mean, I get it. Like 100%. I feel like with the pipeline they have, and especially his younger brother also coming up the pipeline as well, you know, they see other midfield pieces coming in for the future. But it's just like, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Maybe that's why I'm not running a soccer team. I wouldn't want to see him go for a price tag, especially with how dominant he was and clearly above, you know, the League One level last year. But I don't know. It'll definitely be a big blow to North Texas, along with Callum Montgomery, who him and Breck Evans, they were just solid on that back line. It's going to be a different North Texas SC team, and I say that, but then at the back of my mind, I'm also like, yeah, but it's the FC Dallas Academy, and they're just going to come up with 15 more players to replace them.
I would look at it like this way. So I wonder what the sell-on would be. I wonder if it's one of those things, because look at, you know, my boy Sebastian Salcedo, right? The Sauce is going to Liga M. He's in Liga MX now, came from Salt Lake. So maybe it's, like I said, knowing that it's a proven record that teams have, you know, international teams have come and gotten players from Salt Lake, knowing that they have connections. Maybe it's one of those things that North Texas think they can get more bang for their buck if they sell him to a team that then sells him to another team at a big, you know, so if he goes, you know, gets signed to Real Monarchs, plays for Real Salt Lake, has a good year, Liga MX team comes and buys him for $2-3 million, then they get that sell on clause, right? So you get the lump sum for selling him in the first place, then maybe you get 20% of the sell on, depending on whatever the negotiation is. So maybe that's another thing that they're looking at.
You know what, Jason, you're opening up my eyes. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about Montgomery or Rodriguez?
Montgomery, I think San Antonio, they're doing a great thing. They also, you know, brought in another USL League One player, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. But one thing I don't want to sleep on is Breck Evans, because Breck Evans was the captain of this team, the best passing center back in USL League One, way too good to be playing in this league. And he's going to an Austin team that's very defensive-minded, right? Like, that was the team last year to where I was like, oh, cool. The total goals is under 2.5, a positive number, putting $20 on that easy, because they did not give up a lot of goals. And it's one of those things to where that's going to be important from him, from both on-field perspective and a leadership perspective. I think he has a lot to gain from this loan. And I think that he's the future of that FC Dallas back line, if he doesn't get picked up by a German club or, you know, any of the, you know, foreign clubs that he's already trialed with, or worked out with, I should say, and probably have, you know, their eyes on him.
All right, very cool. I mean, I completely agree with that. Breck Evans was fantastic, and so was Montgomery, and I'm excited to see what they can do up a level. Especially, I'm a big fan of Joshua Yarrow, and I think Montgomery and Yarrow, if that's the center back combination, I don't know what it's going to be. I think that'd be pretty cool to see too.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about an article you posted on USLLeague1.com, top 10 signings of the off season, and you had Alex Morel as your number one overall signing, and I put out a similar piece, definitely not as well-written as yours, but I put it out on MLSaces.com, and Alex Morel was my number one signing. I want to hear from you why you think Alex Morel was, I mean, at least at that point, the number one signing of USLLeague1's offseason.
So I think the one big thing about playing in USL League One is you have to face a lot of adversity, right? So if you're a first-time team, it's about building chemistry. You have players who are going from college to professional and have never played a season as long as this, so you get tired legs. You need the depth. Greenville, right? Like they were one of the teams. I said they signed the least amount of players. They had to sign players late when they went down with injuries because of that. And you can see at the end of the season, they had some tired legs. They, you know, Christopher Bermudez was really a savior for them, you know, kind of being, you know, having the fresh legs. And that's what happened because he, you know, split time all season. So when you have a veteran and a veteran who's probably the most tireless player in that league available and nobody thought to scoop him up, especially the first, you know, the teams that are just coming in or the teams that, you know, are doing pretty much a new roster. I don't understand why he wasn't picked up by, you know, or why he wasn't one of the most sought after players in this league. It just didn't make sense to me. And so, yeah, when you let the team that missed out on the championship by a goal pick him up, that's just a huge signing to me.
And he's just, I mean, like, he's also so versatile. Like, I don't know, like, he can play both wings. He can play up top. He can throw him in the, like, as a middle, like a secondary striker, really, if you need him. Like, he can do so much in the attack. And, like,
and that's what I mean by depth. Like, you have your striker go down, plug him in. You have a wing go down, plug him in. You can put him in probably three or four different positions, and he's good money.
Exactly. And like you said, that effort level that he gives and that determination that he has, that really, like, I don't know, that's why I picked him as number one, too. Like, I really just love what he brings to a team. And, I mean, the dude's in his prime. He's 25 years old. He has a shit ton of experience coming from all around U.S. soccer. I just really think that, like, not that he's going to be the single piece that brings Greenville to the next step, but he's going to sure as shit be, like, a really big piece in that.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things to where if he comes in and has 3 goals, 5 assists, off the bench, or, you know, starts a couple games because of injury, that's the difference between a team having home field advantage in the playoffs and possibly not even making the playoffs.
100% agree with that. So the last question that I have about players for you, and this is kind of maybe an open-ended question. I'm not going to say I'm the biggest expert on USL League One. I'm not going to say I'm the biggest expert on championship, but I do my best to follow the madness between all the different leagues going on in U.S. soccer. But when you're looking at League One this year, what maybe newish players or under the radar players really excites you? You know, maybe if you have like 2 or 3 guys.
Yeah, so there's a couple of kind of themes going on in USL League One. Apparently, the new theme is if you're not 6 foot, get the fuck out. the signings that are coming in this offseason are big guys. So one of them, you look at former Hartford Athletics, Vucic Vojcik. I'm terrible at names if you listen to the show. So the fact that one of those two combinations is probably right is a gift. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, he, a 6'4 striker coming in, you know, and the one kind of Achilles heel to North Texas last year was their height, right? They had Alfusani Jana, who didn't come back this year, and he was easily their tallest player, and he played, you know, defensive central midfield, or he was a box to box, and then they brought him back to center back because they realized they lacked on that height. And now everyone is like, okay, I think we found out how to bring down the champs. And so they brought him in. It's not officially announced, but Orlando City also brought in a Serbian striker who's 6'5", 6'6", something crazy like that. And so, you know, I would watch that, and I would watch, especially when you talk about Orlando City, right? Orlando City was always kind of that, oh, you know, that lookover team. Like, oh, we got Orlando on a schedule. Bet, that's 3 points. Like, we need that right now. I don't think it's going to be the same way. Orlando City is bringing in more loans for international teams. They're finally using their connections with the teams that they have in the Brazilian league and the Italian leagues. They are bringing down more first team players. Interesting to see that Daryl Dyke from their first team actually played for OCB this past weekend in their scrimmage.
Yeah, Daryl DK, he's a big dude too. I don't know what I'm trying to say. He's a guy who, when Orlando City drafted him, I was like, he's not going to play for the first team just with the amount of talent that Orlando City has up top. But I am really excited to see him play in League One because I think he can ball out. Like, he's a good-ass soccer player. And I haven't heard much around the OCB front, like you said, but I'm excited to see some of these guys come in that you're talking about. I mean, I think that's also the Oscar Pereja effect.
Yeah, and this is one of those things to where it's just like, imagine you have to handle Daryl for 70 minutes, right? You talk about a big physical guy, freakishly athletic. He's going to have you running all over the place, right? So you deal with that. Now you've got this 6'5" Serbian coming in, subbing in the 60th, 70th minute, and now you got to deal with that. It's crazy. And the reason why I'm saying 6'5" Serbian is because I know we're going to royally mess up his name. But for the people who, want to look him up, his name is Aleksandar Glavicic. That's what we're going with. It's got a lot of those upside down triangle thingies. So, yeah, but it's going to be a different Orlando City B. I have, said some spicy things, but, considering now there's an extra playoff spot, I don't be surprised if Orlando City B makes the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm hearing Orlando City's going to run the Twin Towers, and I think that's going to be a really good move.
I don't know. Can we say that? Is that too soon?
It's fine. Yeah, it's not. I'm talking about like Tim Duncan, David Robertson.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah,
come on. You got it.
Because I know jet fuel can't melt Orlando City B. I've heard that.
I don't know if we can say that.
Well, too late. Moving on, though. A couple other players, just to name off. Richmond have gotten Kyle Venter from FC Tucson. FC Tucson, their coach has moved on to Richmond. That was one of the players he brought. And it looks like FC Tucson, what they're doing is they're only keeping players or bringing in players that are either college level, right, in development, or players that they think can get a shot on the first team with Phoenix Rising. And so I think Kyle to Richmond is huge. They've instantly now probably got, one of the best center back duos between him and Akwe. And then going reverse of that, Tormenta's Charlie Dennis going to FC Tucson, I think, is really big. Because you want to talk about a guy who's physically and skillfully already kind of in that position of playing at a higher up level. I think he's that. I think Charlie Dennis comes in there and plays a half a season the way he did last year for Tormenta, one of those guys who can play, in different positions, a big guy, a big physical guy, was involved in the most duels last year. I think won the most duels last year. Second in chances created, so he's someone that does it on both sides of the ball. That's someone that I think Phoenix Rising is going to be looking at. And I think the issue with him was, as an international player, those international spots are, like gold mines, right? Like you have to, okay, we found this, we have this, we only can use this for, the big guys. Whereas with him, I think getting that green card, in the future, that's somebody that a lot of teams are going to be a little upset that they didn't use that international slot. I think he's someone you can see in USL Championship, if not this year, by next season.
All right, very cool. We talked a lot of players in USL League One, right? But I want to talk about a team that has actually no players on the roster. I want to call them Inter Miami 2 still. I really do, but it's not. It's Fort Lauderdale CF. They came out the brand, they came out the logo. They're still missing the stuff that goes on the field, but the brand release, what did you think about it?
I mean, I like brands. I mean, I like the brand. Like, I like the colors. I like the logo. I like how it's, the one bird instead of the two, even though it makes more sense to switch it. But it's just, it's tough for me to get excited off of this just because we don't have a team. We don't have, I think now they have a Twitter account, but it's just like, we don't have any play, at least with Orlando City, who actually like will sign players and actually don't make any announcement. We know it's happening, right? We can go and see that it's happening. We don't know anything that's going on in Fort Lauderdale. So it's tough for me to really get excited off of them. And it's sad because Miami in or Fort Lauderdale, whatever you want to call it, and just Florida in general is a hub for soccer talent, right? That's why Miami has 20 million different soccer teams right now, and they all dominate. You've got the Miami FC coming to the USL Championship. That's the last time I'll say the part two. And they're bringing over a good portion of their team that was dominating, in other leagues, NPSL, whatever they were playing in. And so that shows you that the talent's there. And so I hope to, you know, just get a flurry or, you know, of some signings or some kind of a branding tone or something. But I'm putting my money on, oh, it's the day before. We don't know anybody that's on the team. We're just going to wake up tomorrow, look at the roster, and then just have to examine the starting 11 right then and there.
Over under 2 appearances for Brooklyn Beckham.
How old is Brooklyn?
I mean, the dude, he's still a fucking kid. I think he's probably like 23.
That's a really, I'm going to say, you set the number for me?
It's over under 2 appearances. And 2? Brooklyn Beckham is 20, by the way.
Oh, man. I might push that. I think 2 is like the perfect number. I'll just for the sake of the bet, I'll say over.
All right. I mean, I don't know.
If we're at the point where we're not announcing players, he might already be signed and we just don't know, right? Or it might be one of those things where you and I can go make an appearance for them and it doesn't matter. Cause...
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm 6'4". I can score a goal against North Texas.
See, you fit the new criteria of USL League One.
I can do this. All right. You have anything else you want to say about League One before we transition to Championship?
Another team to look out for is the New England Revolution 2, or whatever they're called. They have done a good little job of, getting players and balancing what they're looking for their team, right? Whether it's academy players they want to develop. They've got a couple guys when you talk about USL Championship experience, like Connor Presley coming over from Loudoun, and that's mostly because their coach brought him over. And then you've got international guys like Orlando Sinclair, right, who might be playing to have a chance to step up to the New England Revolution first team. I don't take them lightly.
Yeah, I love the Orlando Sinclair move. Like that, he made my top 10 list. I think he's going to be a very, very good player next season in League One.
Yeah, I think that, you know, between them and the moves that Omaha has made, I think this is going to be a fun year.
I'm very excited about year 2. But, I mean, I don't technically don't know what year it is for USL Championship because there's been so many different, like, reiterations of it. But, I mean, it could be year 2. I don't really know. But USL Championship, they've had some shit going on. We kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Colin Montgomery obviously goes to San Antonio. They also bring in goalkeeper Dane St. Clair, who you alluded to before, was on loan with forward Madison last season from Minnesota. Now he's going on loan to San Antonio. I don't know if he would be their number one keeper. I would assume so, but U.S. Soccer also works weird, where, you know, he can go on loan and not be a guaranteed starter or at least some minutes. But San Antonio FC, this entire offseason has been very interesting from them. They've gotten much better, in my opinion. Have you had any eyes on them?
Yeah, and I like what they're doing. They allowed 57 goals last season. So it's one of those things to where they said, okay, we're going to make defense a priority. As much as I like Josh Yarrow, injury is just, you know, his roommate and just always seems to be around. So unfortunately, yeah. So I think though that they're doing a good job. They obviously have, you know, 2 young, talented kids who are probably one of them definitely ending up and probably on the U.S. youth national team, you know, this year, next year. I think they're doing a good job. I think they're being well balanced. They have exciting, fast midfielders. They're looking to, you know, reassure that defense, you know, bringing in a goalkeeper who is athletic, really someone that's a great shot stopper, is pretty decent with his feet. The one thing that I would say that he needs to work on is his positioning. But outside of that, yeah, I like the moves that San Antonio's doing. I think that when you look at a lot of teams in this league, you have teams who have went above and beyond to make an improvement, and then you have teams who have just not really done anything. They're definitely a team that's gone above and beyond to make an improvement.
I do have to say, I feel like this is the first offseason, or at least the first offseason that I've really paid like super close attention to it, where there's a distinct, like, these are really, really good teams in USL, and then these are the teams that are kind of just going to fill out the rest of the giant playoff format that everyone makes, and the few teams that don't make the playoffs, and that's embarrassingly bad. But I don't know. Like, I feel like there's like this big gap in the really good teams and then everyone else.
See, I agree with you to a point. I also do think we have teams that we truly don't know about, right? I think we have teams that, you know, where you can't fall for the look good on paper, right? Like, yeah, we talk about Miami. Miami looks great. Miami on paper looks like a team that should no doubt be competing, but they've never played together, right, as a team one single minute. So it's tough for me to sit here and crowd them as a top three team in the East when they've never even played a single minute together. And you talk about, you know, those early games, you know, that's important. It's going to take time for them to get chemistry. It's going to take time for, you know, the coach to get his tactics in and, you know, the players to understand what their role is and what they're supposed to do. So, you know, I don't know if I'm quite quick to say, okay, these teams are going to dominate when, you know, there's a lot of new pieces and a lot of work that's going to have to go into it.
I can agree with you on that. I mean, I think that makes some sense, but I'm not easily going to say that Miami looks great on paper. I think they have I mean, that could be a hot take, but I really think they have good pieces on paper, but I think outside of, like, obviously Romario Williams up top, I love him, Sebastian Velasquez, who we can talk about a little bit here if you want. Like, outside of those two, who I think are super talented, like, obviously clearly top premier players in USL Championship, and you can even throw in Hassan Adam, I think, in that. I don't know if the rest of the squad really fills out fantastic.
Well, I mean, so you got Brian Silvestre at goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
At MLS talent. Lloyd Sam, who's just been doing it for 10 million years. Lawrence Allum comes in from Minnesota, somebody who's also just a consistent MLS experience, you know, defender.
They're both five, though.
Vincent Bezicourt?
Injury prone.
Yes, I give you that. But you look at this and you say, okay, I'm looking at this roster. This is a high ceiling. It's just like what I was saying, it depends on chemistry. It depends on if people can stay healthy. But I do think they do have a high ceiling. I think, like, one of my things that I'm really key on is when you have a new team, defense is important. So when you have guys like Olam, when you have guys like Harrison Heath, when you have guys like Jalen Markey, like,
yeah,
these are guys that I'm just like, okay, I'm cool with this. These are guys who are experienced, have played in USL Championship or MLS. This is a good backbone. It's just whether or not they can live up to their ceiling. It's whether or not Romario Williams is going to score 15 to 20 goals like we know he can.
No, I can agree with that. Like, I definitely think they're one of the better teams in the East. I just don't know if, like, I don't know. I don't really know if they even compare to their rival, quote-unquote rival in Florida right now in the championship with Tampa Bay.
Well, yeah, I think Tampa Bay is another team who is just – who went above and beyond to make their team better, and I think they're ready for the next step.
All right, so I don't really know if I'm still with this, to be honest, but Tampa Bay, like, you want to kind of transition to them?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Tampa Bay, I love the season they put together and the offseason they put together. And I agree with you that, like, I like to see defenses come together. And I mean, signing Forrest Lasso is a pretty big way to get your defense to come together.
And it's not bad.
Yeah.
Or you can sign Evan Loro to lead the back. You know, like, they just sign a top three goalkeeper every year. No big deal, right? It's not like they just always have one of the best keepers in the league.
And then they go on to Major League Soccer, and it's the whole thing. But I mean, like, I don't know. Right now, if you had to pick between Tampa Bay and Miami, are you taking Tampa Bay or Miami?
Oh no, I'm absolutely taking Tampa Bay. And here's a name that I'm writing a piece now about, you know, the players who I think haven't had a lot of offseason buzz. That's gonna be big in USL Championship. Kyle Murphy. Kyle Murphy's going to do the damn thing in Tampa Bay. I'm telling y'all, like, I don't know what you want to do for over under with the goals and assists, but Kyle Murphy's about to do the damn thing. I'm extremely excited for the signing. Like, this might be my most hyped signing of the offseason right now for USL Championship.
Okay. I mean, that's, again, like, I can fall in part of that. That's not a guy I'm immediately jumping to and talking about, but bringing it up, like, I can agree with you there. I think that he's going to be a major, major impact. Like, he's such a talented player that you're right, he gets so overlooked.
He scored pretty much every other game last year, right? And that was from people like, and no offense, because, you know, Loudon does have some quality players, but Connor Presley's playing in League One, right? Whereas now he gets a midfield of Arduro, Steinberg, who else am I thinking? Malik Johnson, like all these guys, Leo Fernandez, like these are guys who are definitely going to be giving him better service than what he got at Loudon. And so I'm just excited to see that.
I mean, 100%. I don't really have much more on Tampa Bay I want to say. Do you have anything else?
I just don't know how they keep doing it with the goalkeeper thing. The same way I'm confused how the league let that whole Alex Morrell deal happens. How does USL Championship teams keep letting top goalkeepers go to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think the goalkeepers just want to go to warm weather.
That is the move. As a former goalkeeper, I can tell you, just standing in goal in a New York winter is trash. Absolute trash. So I know exactly what Evan went through.
Let's go kind of circling back a little bit, and I feel a little bit repetitive, but Real Monarchs getting Arturo Rodriguez, and I want to talk about this more from the Monarchs point of view of it, or the Monarchs feel of it. I don't know if this is gonna happen. I don't know if it could possibly happen, but me thinking about the possibility of Arturo Rodriguez, Chris Bermudez, and Joe Gallardo all on the same field together at one point just has me super excited about USL.
Yeah, I think you put Joe and Arturo together, which I think is the more realistic chance that we'll see throughout the year. I don't know if it's a consistent starting duo, but it's definitely one, because Arturo can play on, you know, play on the wing, and Joe can play in that 10 role. That's swagged out. They're going to be AM1 mixtaping people all game. But one thing that I really like, and I kind of tweeted about it today, you know, Real Monarchs has three USL League One players, all of them just under, or, you know, like, I think Arturo just turned 22 or just turned 21 a couple weeks ago. Joey is the oldest at 22, and Christopher Bermudez, I think, is 20. So you've got all these guys under 22 years old, right? You have these guys who are proven players and were standout in USL League One. This is what USL Championship teams should be doing, right? Are you going to take a risk on a college player? Are you going to give the veteran, you know, a big contract, or do you pay $7,000 to $10,000 for a player who has a year under his belt in USL League One, who has experience and who were standout, and you try to integrate them into a system to where you have time, to where you can make a profit off them in the future if you sell them on, to where they can end up playing for Real Salt Lake in your first team? I love what they're doing. I think they're utilizing League One the way every USL Championship team should be doing it.
I can't say that any better than how you just said that. I completely agree. Sounded a little bit like the Ira Jersey effect. And you think you may be hanging out with Ira a little bit.
That's not a good thing. If you hear me start talking about Star Trek, immediately pull the plug out on the show. We got a problem.
I don't know. I was going to try to think of some transition out of there. I can't. But I want to go over to Lou City. Lou City bringing back Cameron Lancaster on loan from Nashville SC in Major League Soccer. I mean, you say Tampa Bay just keeps doing it. I don't understand how USL Championship teams let Lou City just get all these talented players and just let them all, like, have like 15 wingers and 15 strikers, and the midfield stacked. And I mean, they're not going to bring back Paco Craig, it looks like, but nah, the back line will be fine too, don't worry. Like, it's just insane to me.
Yeah, and they keep their core, right? Like Oscar Jimenez, George Davis, they're all just chilling, like none of this happened, right? So it's pretty amazing, like you said, that they keep their core, and then, oh yeah, we'll add Hopeno last year, oh yeah, we'll add, you know, Lancaster again. I think that's the perfect fit. I think that's exactly what's needed. Lancaster recovering from his injuries, he's going to need time. And a lot of these fan bases aren't going to have the patience for that, right? They need to win. They need to win now. They feel like if he's not scoring the way he used to or he needs to, that he's wasting a slot on the team, right? Whereas Louisville, they love him. I think they're going to allow for him to have a little bit of time to get back into it and get back to his scoring ways.
I was going to say, and yeah, like they love him. Like they absolutely love him. So it's like he's not going to, like they're not going to hate on him or anything.
Right.
But
he can have 10, you know, eight games or so to where it's just like if you scored three or four goals in eight games or three goals, let's say he scored three goals in the first nine games, right? Okay. That's not, you know, 1 in 3 games. That's not great, but it's not terrible. But it's enough time for him to get his bearings back. And then all of a sudden he starts scoring, you know, a goal every game and he starts getting back to his old form. And it's just like, yes, this is great. It's like the old times. But then Nashville reminds you, oh yeah, we have that callback clause in his contract and we're getting smoked in MLS. So we're going to go ahead and call him back.
And yeah, we can't score a goal in Major League Soccer, anyone in form. But I mean, like even if he goes, you have Luke Spencer, you have Hopino, like you said earlier, Brian Ombi, all these dudes who can just kind of like just rotate in and just be fine. And then like this offseason, they add Corbin Bone, they add Jimmy Ockford. Like,
yeah, and I think those are those, like you were talking about with their defense, that's the big things that I think that they've done right this offseason, especially like with the Jimmy Ockford and kind of getting those players in there to really make up for Paco Craig and make up for a couple guys who have left. Because when you think of Louisville, at least I know when I do, I think a lot of their offense, right? I think a lot of them being a fun team to watch, being offense, but their defense is extremely important. And so I think those are really the good moves that they made this year.
All right. I want to talk about the last two things. I don't want to have this episode be like 2 hours because I feel like I can just talk for days right now. But Lou City, outside of just having fantastic offseason after fantastic offseason and bringing in amazing player after amazing player, they dropped a video of what looked like a fantastic-ass stadium. Like, I have these two friends who absolutely hate Major League Soccer and they wouldn't even look twice at USL, right? And I just sat there quietly in their apartment and I just flipped over the video to them of that Lou City Stadium tour. And they both were like, oh, where is this in England? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, man. It's fucking Louisville, Kentucky. What did you think when you saw that video?
It's incredible, right? Like for them, it's almost like this is why I don't frown upon baseball stadiums at first, right? If the ownership has a plan and they say, look, are we going to have a pitcher's mound in the middle of the field? Yeah. All right. We got to do what we got to do. Is everyone going to hate playing here? Yes. Are we going to be embarrassed to the point where we have to play in a different field if we're going to be on national television? Absolutely. But it's all for the cause. And if we just pay our dues and do this for a couple years and that's the end result, right? You get a team and a fan base and you get this consistency of attendance, you see the impact that the team has on the community, you get the government, you know, kind of into it, and they say, okay, you know what, we can make money off of this, this is what the city needs, and then they grant you that kind of stadium, you got to do it, right? It's either not doing that or, you know, or playing at a college, no, you do that, you pay your dues, and you reap in, which is now probably the nicest, I don't even say probably, the nicest soccer stadium in USL Championship.
I mean, if you want to go give that same speech to City Football Group, I'd be happy. I'd be a happy fan over here. But
well, I mean, don't worry. Y'all are getting a billion-dollar stadium in the Bronx, right? Isn't that what I heard?
Yeah, fuck. I won't believe it until, like, I don't know, man. I won't believe it until I'm actually watching a game in that stadium, like my ass in the seat.
Yeah, or you'll be watching at Red Bull, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that shit. I am part of that group that's like, fuck it, nope, like not happening. That's embarrassing, but that's a whole other different story.
It is.
But your kind of speech about that also kind of goes along to New Mexico United, number one attended team last year in USL Championship. Now they're wanting that permanent home, that permanent stadium. I mean, to me, I think completely deserving. I really like what New Mexico United did last year on and off the field. I like how they operate as a club. And I mean, to me, more soccer-specific stadiums or just more, like, soccer-focused stadiums in America, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, so first and foremost, I agree with you. I love everything that they've done on and off the field. But one of the things I think you should really look at, too, is the importance of where everyone from their front office is going, right? Like, you have all these people leaving their front office to go be presidents and heading other teams, right? You got Amanda Powers going to FC Tucson as, you know, their first president. That shows you the core and the understanding that the ownership group has for New Mexico. And so, like I said, one of those things to where they hit the ground, they proved that the fandom was there, they proved the impact on the community. They've got, you know, the Meow Wolf sponsor. They somehow got Puma to make American soccer kits now. It's one of those things to where they went and improved it. And so, of course, when you look at that, the government's going to be like, yeah, there's money to be made here. Yes, this is great for our city. We need to go ahead and we need to get this thing moving.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, like, I like seeing independent teams in USL Championship and USL League One, like, do this, like, operate like this and show that, like, oh, like, you can be an independent soccer team in a lower division American soccer and, like, function and still, like, be entertaining and still have a good product on the field and still, like, be an actual soccer club. Like, it's shocking that, like, it's not more realistic, or people don't think it's that realistic. I don't know. I'm just happy that it's out there.
It's all about the ownership. I mean, you need ownership that understands how, you know, lower league soccer works. Understand you might not be able to turn a profit the first couple years, but understand that it's an investment to something long term that's going to be potentially big, right? To potentially something that moves on, like Sacramento to MLS, right? It's just one of those things to where it's about finding the right ownership who understands it and believes in the city and believes in the sport.
I mean, I 100% agree with you there. Jason, I want to close out the show. I want to thank you for coming on. Do you have anything that you want to say to the people? And if not, you can just throw your stuff out there, man.
Yeah, if you want to throw your hot takes at me and so I can tell you how wrong they are, my Twitter is @HomeSweetSoccer. And I'll end on this. Two teams that I'm liking a lot right now is Charlotte and Birmingham. I'm just going to throw that out. I think they made some good moves in this offseason, kind of going under the radar. I think this is the best that Charlotte's looked in years. And I think that Birmingham is going to be one of those teams that surprised people.
I do actually want you to close out the show on one more thing. A-League pick. Can you have an A-League pick?
You need an A-League pick? Hold on. Let me see if I can pull up the the odds. I can definitely give that to you. So I know tonight there's one, but we're not going to be able to get to that because of I don't know when this is. When is this coming out? So I can let you know.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to come out tomorrow? Okay, cool. Let me go ahead and pull up these odds real quick. I just want to pull up the schedule real quick, let you, because I don't want to lead you guys astray, right? We all trying to win some money here. Let me look. Wellington and Melbourne, Western Sydney. Take Melbourne on the road against Wellington. They're at +150. I think this is a 2-1, 3-2 game. I think it's a 2-1 game, sounds about right. So you can either take the over 2.5 at -120, or you can take Melbourne for the win at +150. I'm liking it.
All right, there you have it, people. That's your A-League pick. Make some money this weekend and have some fun, Jason.
And I'll tweet it so you guys can then come back and, you know, yell at me when it's wrong.
Jason, thank you, man, for coming on. I appreciate it. We got to have you back on during the season.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Peace.